Well, let's continue with some discussion of investment theories and strategies, stock buying strategies, and also take a look at some information sources. So let's start on slide 35 with fundamental analysis. Now, this has nothing to do with religion, fundamentalism. No. This is the theory and the strategy based on the assumption that the stock's intrinsic or real value is determined by the company's future earnings and other numeric measures. The fundamentalists consider the financial strength of the company, the type of the industry that the company is in, the new product development, the economic growth of their market, of the overall economy. Are they moving into new markets? Are they developing new products? They look at the company itself. And I side with the fundamental analysts. I think this is the way. Now, it's not easy. We never said it was easy. If it was easy, everybody'd be doing it. But it takes time and judgment and maturity, and you can do it, especially if you don't try to get rich real quickly. And that's what we show in the Business 123 class. We're going to build wealth slowly in Introduction to Investments. But that doesn't mean you can not try, and with the high-growing, high-risk stocks, and maybe you'll do well, and maybe you won't. And even with the dull companies that have been around for decades, there's no guarantee of success. Welcome to capitalism. Slide 36, there's a whole other world called technical analysis. And I think these folks are all wet, so I tell you right off the bat, they don't care about the company. They base their analysis on the assumption that a stock's value is determined by the forces of supply in demand in the stock market as a whole. They don't look at expected earnings or the intrinsic value of a stock, but rather on factors found in the marketplace, in the market for stocks. They plot price movements and other market averages and have all these technical indicators to observe trends that they use to predict a stock's future value. I call it reading squiggles on a computer screen. And it's somewhat akin to howling at the moon under a full moon while you're reading entrails of chickens. And yeah, it's voodoo as far as I'm concerned. But there are people who believe it. And remember, it's not an either-or proposition. You can do some fundamental analysis and some technical analysis. So there you go. And then there's a whole other world that says, these people are both wet. These people are both goofballs, called the efficient market theory, and sometimes called the random walk theory. It's based on the assumption that stock price movements are purely random. A stock's current market price reflects its true value, they believe. Well, you know, these are kind of diametrically opposed. If the stock prices are purely random, how could the stock price reflect the true value? It started many years ago, back in the late 1960s and early 1970s, when they started just throwing darts at a dartboard, monkey throwing darts at a dartboard, picking stocks randomly. And it turned out that sometimes the random stocks beat the experts. Sometimes not. These people believe it is impossible for someone to outperform the stock market over the long term. Yet, here's the problem with their theory. There are many long-term investors who have beaten the market over decades. So what do the efficient market theorists say about that? They say, they're just lucky. Well, that may be true for short-term investors, but not for long-term investors. There's an old story, and it's attributed to many different golfers, but some golfer went out there and beat everybody and was really, really good. And the reporter that day said, "Boy, you were really lucky out there today." And the golfer came back and said, "You know, you're absolutely right. I was really lucky. And the funny thing is, the more I practice, the luckier I get." Some people are just good at hitting a little white ball 340 yards down the fairway. Some people can hit a fastball at 98 miles an hour. Some people can dunk a basketball. Some people can sing a four-hour opera. Most people can't. And so these are the people who did well in picking stocks. And they're the ones I want to learn from. And that's why in our final presentation, we'll take a look at some of the all-stars of investing who have beaten the market over decades. Slide 38. Let's take a look at some stock buying strategies. Well, the strategy that I find the most helpful, and of course, everybody has their opinions, and mine are right, of course, is the buy and hold strategy. You use fundamental analysis to identify high-quality companies at reasonable prices, and you hold it for the long term. And but Warren Buffett, the famed investor, is a buy and hold investor. And they said, Mr. Buffett, how long should we hold the stock for? Hold it forever. Our ideal holding period is forever, which he's being a little, tongue in cheek. He's making a bit of a joke because you don't live forever, right? You got to eventually start selling your stocks to live off of. But the idea is it shines through. I mean, if you own a business, a pizza shop or a shoe shop, would you sell it because the price went up 10%? Would you sell it because the price went down 10%? Would you sell it because the price went up 30%? I mean, you would hold on to it. You would want to use the income that business produced and maybe someday sell it when you retire, who knows, or bequeath it to your children. The buy and hold strategy works well with the dollar cost averaging, which we're going to discuss again when we get to mutual funds, and dividend investment plans, where we have low-cost investment plans that bypass the brokers and reinvest our dividends automatically. I'm a buy-and-hold kind of guy. But there are other strategies. And I call these dumb, dumber, and dumbest. Momentum trading, sector analysis, and market timing. You see, momentum trading uses what's called the greater fool theory. Somewhere out there is a greater fool than I am and will buy what I bought at a high price at an even higher price. And this is what's going on with the cryptocurrencies. There's no intrinsic value to these things. So you are just hoping that somewhere out there is a greater fool than you are who will buy them at a higher price. Good luck. Sector analysis says you buy the stocks in the hot sectors. And you sell the stale ones, sell the stocks in the stale sectors. Well, you have to decide which sector is going to be hot next, because if you buy the stocks in the hot sectors, you're going to be overpaying just in time for them to become stale and the ones that are in the stale sector to become hot. Yeah, I think you should buy high quality companies at reasonable prices and hold them for the long term. And then market timing. Look, folks, there have been dozens and dozens, hundreds of market timing strategies that have none of them have worked over the decades. And yet people still, either they're trying to convince others that they know what they're doing, or they're trying to convince themselves that they know what they're doing. And it turns out that all these things just fall, crash and burn. In fact, it was said best by an investor from the mid 20th century, Bernard Baruch. Don't try to time the market. It can only be done by liars. In other words, it was this big, the fish that got away. Now, this last strategy is actually very smart, but it's also very difficult. You want to buy when others are selling and sell when others are buying. It's called the contrarian method of buying stocks. And, it makes sense, but it's not easy. Why? Because the markets tend to go up 3-4 years for every one down year. It doesn't mean it's 1-2-3 down, 1-2-3. It doesn't work that way. I mean, in 2000, 2001, 2002, it went down 3 years in a row. But you wait until there's blood in the streets. You wait until people are panicking and then you buy. And then when people are euphoric, you sell. And one famous contrarian said, I always try to be accommodating. I sell when others are buying and I buy when others are selling. Warren Buffett and other contrarian investors are like this. The prime example was 2008, when we were literally looking at the abyss. The credit markets, the bond markets had frozen. Literally, you couldn't buy the bonds. Nobody was selling them. Nobody was buying them. It was a very scary time. The stock market was going through its death throes twice. People don't remember this, but twice in 2008, the market went up 10% in one day. Twice, two times it happened. Of course, it went down 7%, 8%. You know, it was a very scary time. Mr. Warren Buffett famously wrote an article, an opinion piece in the Wall Street Journal. No, in the New York Times, I'm sorry, saying, I'm buying. I'm bullish on America. He put $5 billion into Goldman Sachs, which is the big investment firm on Wall Street, $5 billion in General Electric, and $10 billion in Bank of America. And all three of those transactions worked out very well for Mr. Buffett. Whereas everybody else was, oh, we're all going to be eating ramen soup or boiling bark for dinner. And he was right. It's not easy to be a contrarian. Slide 40. When do you sell? Many people would tell you it was easy to buy. I always have a hard time knowing when to sell. Well, there are various strategies, and I don't really like that. I don't like the first two, you know. Sell when the stock hits its target price. Well, you have to, you know, decide what's its target price for you. Analysts will put a target price. They'll say, we think it's going to go up to 120 or something like that, and then you're supposed to sell. But maybe it's still a good buy at 120, and you don't know. Sell when the stock is overvalued. Well, you have to decide what overvalued means. Again, it's judgment. Now, I like this one. Peter Lynch, on his book, One Up on Wall Street, says you sell when the story changes. If the reason or reasons you bought the stock change, then consider selling. And what Peter Lynch would do, you want to read One Up on Wall Street. We'll take a look at it in just a bit. It's a wonderful book. He said, I would do all my research and put everything into a three-ring binder. Right, this is before the internet. 1977 is when he started. 1990 is when he ended. And then when I was done all my research, I would hold the three-ring binder up in front of me and say, this is Nike. I want to buy Nike because they are the premier footwear and sportswear producer around the world and all about Nike. Or I want to sell Nike because, you know what, the price has gone up too much and it's too expensive for me now. He would give himself the 30-second, 60-second pep talk about the stock. Very cool. Read it. Sell when you have a better investment offer. Well, if another stock comes along as a better buy, consider swapping investments. But you have to be careful because then you incur taxes and commissions. And I know you might say, hey, Robin Hood, I don't pay commissions. Wrong. Yes, you do. They're just more hidden from you. Take Business 123, Introduction to Investments, and we'll explain why. And this is the one I like best. It's time to sell when I need the money, right? Because I'm getting there. I am kind of there already. It's time for me to start selling, although I don't really want to. I love investing so much. But it's time to, you know, what do you say? You know, you can't take it with you, right? That's what they tell me. You don't see a U-Haul behind the hearse on the way to the... cliches are us. Slide 41. Now, asset allocation. This is a fancy term for how much should I have in stocks, how much should I have in bonds. And many advisors suggest a formula such as subtract your age from 100. This has been around for decades, folks. So if you're 40 years old, you'd say 100 minus 40 is 60. So you should have 60% in stocks and 40% in bonds. Well, notice that the number is now going to 110 and 120. Why is that? Well, because people are living far longer. Before, people used to retire at 62 and die at 64. They didn't even make it to 65. But now people are retiring at 62 and going back to work at 64 because they are bored, or their spouse kicked them out of the house and says, you got to get out of here and get a job. Or they decided they want to start a business. And people are living into their 80s, 90s. So I say, and others, poppycock. You buy high-quality stocks. Once you near retirement, start buying bonds, but don't give up on stocks entirely. And we'll take a look at this in retirement investing at a later date. But yeah, you still need some growth. You can't just rely on the income from, unless you have a whole lot of money, right? A ton of money. But we still need some growth in our portfolio, even in retirement. That's my opinion. You're going to hear otherwise. And of course, I'm right. Slide number 42, rebalancing. Some of those same advisors that suggest asset allocation also suggest the technique of what's called rebalancing. Every year, you check to see if your percentages are still in balance. If stocks have had a banner year, you might now be 70-30 instead of 60-40. So you sell some stocks, buy some bonds to bring the balance back to 60-40. You see what's going on? If stocks have tanked, now you might be 50-50 or 40-60 stocks and bonds. So you want to sell some bonds and buy some stocks. This forces you to do the right thing. You're buying low, selling high. Who wants to sell when their stocks are going up? Ooh, that doesn't sound very good. Who wants to buy when stocks have tanked? That doesn't sound very good either. But this formula forces you to sell some stocks when they've done really well and buy some stocks when they've done poorly. Now, it's not a guarantee of success, folks, but it is part of a balanced strategy. And we'll take a look at a balanced mutual fund later on and see that some balanced mutual funds have done very, very well by using this type of strategy. Slide 43. In retirement, many advisors suggest that retirees shed the bulk of their stock investments in favor of bonds and cash only. And as we said, the only problem is people are living much longer. A 50-year-old living today has a 50-50 chance. You know, I read that once and I don't really believe it. And then I read another one that said a couple, both 65, has about a 50% chance of, or 45% chance of one of them living to 95. So that's a pretty long time, folks, you know, 30 years. So you need some stock investing in retirement. Now, I'm not saying you should buy the high-flying, you know, very, very speculative stocks. But the boring companies that have been around for decades, yeah. Inflation doesn't retire just because you do. As you near retirement, start migrating your investments from stocks to bonds, but don't abandon stocks entirely. And again, we're going to revisit this. When we get to mutual funds, we'll take a look at the distribution phase. How do we make it through retirement? Cool. Slide 44. Over the years, other stock strategies, the financial world has come up with other strategies to help you exploit the wonderful world of investments. They are also excellent sources of high commissions for stockbrokers. Surprise! You might have heard of options, futures, well, actually options contracts and futures contracts, but it's hard to say. Margin accounts, buying on margin, selling short. Look, folks, all you need to be able to do is see those four words, those four phrases, and know to stay away. You are virtually guaranteed to lose. And we spend some time at the end of the Business 123 Introduction Investments learning about these. If you want to get in the industry, become a stockbroker, you have to know these things inside out. But we say in our class and in this class, instruction about syphilis is not an instruction to get syphilis, okay? We're warning you to stay far away from these things, but don't take my word for it. Type options trading or futures trading or selling short into any search engine, and you will get millions of people trying to sell you a course 42 hours of instruction for only $7,700. But if you act now, we'll take $1,000 off and only charge you $6,700. I'm not kidding, folks. These people are there to steal your money because they're going to promise you 300%, 3,000% on return on your money. By the way, they're breaking the law because, wait a minute, don't we have freedom of speech? Oh, yes, in the marketplace of ideas, we have freedom of speech. But when it comes to medical devices or drugs or financial instruments, no, that speech is highly regulated, and they get away with it. They're people, they have no scruples. One of them was an ex-president, yeah, stay away. So you've been warned. Okay. Slide 45. So what are some information sources? Well, the media, folks, I'm not a big fan of television. I like a couple of radio programs, but the newspapers are better. I like the, I know I'm one of the elites. I like the New York Times, the Washington Post, LA Times. San Diego Union has actually gotten better. And so we have digital subscriptions to them. We get the LA Times twice a week in paper form. My wife likes that. But the television and the internet, it's a lot of sensational stuff, highly questionable value. I'm not a big fan of the Wall Street Journal. I know people say, don't you read the Wall Street Journal? I say, a little bit, but I find it very politicized now. So what are you going to do? A wonderful gentleman by the name of Nick Murray wrote a book that you probably wouldn't read. It's geared toward salespeople. But he said, Wisdom Sold Separately, which I thought was just a great way of saying much of this is just dreck. Could the market go up 20%? That's the headline. You know, that's the headline. Yeah, it could. Could the market go down 50%? Yeah, it could. Could Apple go higher by 25%? Yeah, it could. It's all these things like, could this happen? Yes, we think this is going to happen. We don't really know, but we think it's going to happen. So we say it because we have to fill up airtime. So I'm not, my advice is to turn the damn thing off, especially when the markets are falling. Just turn it off. Don't get caught up in all the dreck that's going on. Read. I like to read. I don't like television. The pictures are better when you read. I'm not talking about graphic novels. All right, now, so much for them. What about stock advisory services? Well, most of them will charge a fee for the reports, but that's why there's a library. Standard & Poor's, I think they sold it to some other company called CFRA, Moody's. The one that I love and the one we use in our Introduction to Investments class is the Value Line. It has been around for 90 years. And it is absolutely awesome. And we learn how to use it in Business 123 Introduction Investments and in the Investment Club. So join us. Now, there's a corporation called betterinvesting.org. The real name is National Association of Investors Corporation, which is, I guess they just thought that was kind of boring. So they call themselves in betterinvesting.org. They promote investment clubs. And I'm a member and I'm a volunteer actually at the Golden West chapter, which is Los Angeles, San Diego, Las Vegas, and Imperial and Riverside counties. And I have a blast. It's a lot of fun. So join us. They emphasize education and earning money. They say earn while you learn. So check us out. And take Business 123 because we're going to learn about the Value Line, which is absolutely awesome. And because you're a student at Southwestern Community College, you get to use Value Line online for free. Shh, we're not supposed to tell. We're only supposed to tell students that are in the finance classes and the accounting classes. But anybody who's a student at Southwestern can get it. So it's on my website, by the way. If you go to my 123 website, you'll see, hey, the Value Line, click here. You got to be signed in as you're going to sign. It's going to ask you to sign in as a Southwestern Community College student, which you should be able to do. Slide number 46. Have I asked you to consider taking Business 123 Introduction Investments? I certainly hope so, because this class, along with the class you're just taking right now, and a couple others, will get you in the door, folks. We'll get you your foot in the door. And, you know, they don't care if you got a degree from a fancy four-year college. The dirty little secret is that doesn't guarantee that you're going to do well with the public. No, it doesn't. And many people from a two-year degree, now they're going to want you to get your four-year degree eventually, but if they like you and you do well, they'll help pay for it because that's the way the industry works. They are always looking for good professionals, folks. And we talk about the requirements, what the skills you need. And many of them are called the soft skills because the actual intellectual part of investing, as we learn in this class and the Introduction to Investments class, it's not that hard. It really isn't. If you do your studying, right? if you're moderately sober when you do it, it's the emotional part that drives people insane. And that's where we learn how to deal with emotions and dollar cost averaging and turn off the television set. Yeah. Now, the two books that you want to start with are either One Up on Wall Street, I mentioned that, by Peter Lynch, and another gentleman by the name of Burton Malkiel, Professor Burton Malkiel, who was one of the people involved in the efficient market theorist, you know, 40, 50 years ago. He wrote a wonderful book called A Random Walk Down Wall Street. Both of these are entertaining and not they're not boring, folks. You really like it. Now, eventually you want to read The Intelligent Investor, but please don't read this as your first book. He's not the best writer. He needed a very good editor, but he didn't have one. And he talks in flowery language, but he was a genius. And this was Warren Buffett's teacher. He was actually, now he passed away in 1975, but they've kept his book alive and they keep redoing it. And they have a gentleman by the name of Jason Zweig who writes commentaries after every chapter. But don't read it as your first book, okay? Now, another really good book to read would be Introduction to Investments, a Free Manual for Building Wealth, which is our textbook for the Introduction to Investments class, and yours truly wrote it. It's free to read. Did I say free? Yes, free to read. So check it out. I'm going to, I'll tell you later, but it's so hard to get your friends to read a free textbook. You read I wrote this book. You can read it for free. Please read it. Give me some feedback. I need a lot more people reading it. I already have at least three professors using it. It's part of a movement called Open Educational Resources, where anybody can use it. They can augment it. They can translate it. I want to get somebody who can speak Spanish to translate it in Spanish and Chinese and French and Hindi, to translate it to as many languages as possible. And it's free, folks. And it's my gift. It's my way of giving back because I've been so blessed. So, and I always knew I had it in me. It just took me a while to get around. And it took a year. Took a year to do it. But I'm really proud of it. And I hope you read it. Okay. Now, if you're going to invest in a company, please at least download what the company says about themselves. They'll send you a paper copy, but now it's all electronic. The 10K is the annual report, and the 10Q is the quarterly report. And so what I would do in class, I would say, okay, now what's the annual report? And the students would go, 10K. And what's the quarterly report? 10Q. And what was that? What's the quarterly report? 10Q. And then I'd say, you're welcome. And I'd just crack up laughing. And the students would look at me like, there's something very wrong with this man. One little Latina, she never said a word all semester long. She just looked at me and she goes, that was so wrong. It's a sickness. My apologies. Okay. Oh, are you excited? Is this interesting you folks? I hope so. Because there's a future for you folks. We need people out there. We do. In our last presentation, we'll take a look at the all-stars of investing. And you want to learn from, and I always thought, you want to learn something, learn from the best. And that's what we'll do a little bit of. And then we'll be finished with stocks. Thank you so much. We're so proud of you. And again, we want you to be wealthy.